Support comes from Strategic Farm Marketing, sponsor of the annual customer seminars. This virtual or in-person program will provide tools for the demands and challenges of managing a farm business in today's environment, along with updates on the latest federal and private crop insurance products and new program ECO, Enhanced Coverage Option.
This is the February 25 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois, and John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. He's out of Lafayette, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. And one other note, on that web page, if you scroll down, you will find a way to register for the FarmDoc Winter Webinar Series coming up next Thursday, the 4th day of March. We'll talk about crop insurance and the ECO decision with Gary Schnitke and Company. If you've not thought about what you should do or are still looking for some guidance, Gary is one of the best in the Midwest on this particular topic, and you can tune in for free at 11 a.m. Central Time, but you do need to be registered. You can find that either on the FarmDoc Daily website or maybe just go to willag.org and scroll down until you see the registration links. Now, let's get to set of information that we ought to talk about for the day. I think Chip Nellinger from Blue Reef Agri-Marketing will start with you. What have you been considering and what should we talk about?
Well, I think one thing here, big picture, what I'm considering is after this Outlook Forum here a week ago, do we have the bar too high on demand? How is spring going to shape up? How many acres are we going to have? And, again, outside market volatility is getting a little bit extreme here. We've seen some big moves in interest rates. The stock market's seeing some volatility. The dollar's flying all over. And I think that's spilling over and giving us a lot of fluctuations in our ag markets as well.
Brian Stark of the Andersons on your list.
I think pointing to the acreage report at the end of March, as Chip alluded to, I think seeing how many acres we're going to end up planting, does demand stay strong, and what type of impact are we seeing on the cash basis side as we try and find a price that slows down consumption and the transition we have to make to get to new crop.
And John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities, on your list.
Well, I think Chip's made some good points about what's going on in these outside markets. What a wild ride today. We had the dollar sharply lower this morning, which we needed. And unfortunately, we had some other things going on, so we didn't get the full effect of it. And by the end of the day, it was sharply higher. And stock market, last I checked, Dow down about 562. So it's not going to be easy sailing in here. I think it's pretty easy to be pretty bullish soybeans right now. We've got a setup here we've never seen at this time of the year before. Corn a little bit trickier with ethanol continuing to be a concern. And, a carryout projection that historically is not overly threatening.
Well, tell me, John, about why it's easy to be bullish soybeans in particular. I know that you can look at the ending stocks number and say, hey, we're tight, but there is a crop coming out of South America.
Yeah, and that crop's going to be pretty good. Brazil looks like about 132 million tons, which is certainly a new record for them. But that could be sliding back a little bit as far as total production, but it's certainly not coming out quickly. They've been fighting a lot of rain, some lower yields than what they were hoping for. And now we have some dryness and heat creeping up into the southern part, as well as Argentina. So I think the Chinese will, I think they'll soak up most of that crop again, as they usually do. And we have a very, very interesting summer ahead of us, I believe, Todd.
Any concern, Chip Nellinger, on your part that because the Chinese have had to wait for the export market from Brazil to open up just because of late harvest and now delayed harvest because of the rainfall, that some of the bookings that have been in place, which people believe will come out of the United States, will either be canceled or moved, and I've asked this question over and over again, and the later in the year it gets, the less likely it seems that will be the case, but I'm wondering if there's still enough concern there.
Well, you know, I think that was alluded to earlier. We're going to be set up for a real wild growing season and summer. You know, on the one hand, you can make an argument that we're at pipeline supplies, and, you know, come July, August, right ahead of new crop, it's going to feel like we're out of supplies. But yet, you know, today on the export sales report, we saw some net cancellations from China. The numbers, even without that, were pretty low. And you normally see that now that South American, you know, harvest is starting to pick up a little bit. They're going to take over, and they're going to be cheaper, and they're going to get the business for a while. We always see that every year. I don't know why this year is going to be different. So, you know, to me, what that says is it's setting us up for disappointment in the short run that exports aren't high enough in the market's mind, quote unquote, high enough or big enough in the market's mind. Could see some disappointment and some setbacks, kind of like you saw today. Maybe China cancels a few more. But net net, as we get deeper into summer, as far as old crop goes, there's periods of time here where it's going to feel like we are literally out of beans. And if its demand stays as good as it has been on the crush side, it's going to get really interesting before it's said and done. To me, it says, you boil that all down, what's it mean? It means there's going to be a tremendous amount of volatility, you know, maybe historic type volatility, talking, you know, $1, $2 plus swings back and forth in this bean market before it's said and done come new crop supplies this fall.
Brian Stark, do farmers have much in the way of old crop yet to market? And following that up, the $1.70 difference between old and new crop, meaning new crop's $1.70 lower than the old crop is that keeping them from marketing their new crop?
I think they've got time on their side. I would say in general, no more than 5 to 10% of soybeans remaining in the producer's hands. Corn, we estimate 25 to 30% of old crops still sitting along. But with the bean side, I think they've got time before they hit the drop deadline of, you know, June 30th before we get into physical delivery of the July contract. So unless we see more demand rationed and start to feel more comfortable with that transition, they've got some time that they can kick the can down the road. I think the big thing as we talk about beans is you look at the balance sheet as tight as it is today and the fact that we project to plant 90 million acres of beans. I think more so than the cancellations or the old crop demand that we're trying to ration, what's even more imperative or interesting to me is if we're going to project to do what the Outlook Forum said on new crop demand, because at 90 million acres, it may be hard to build that carryout on the soybean complex. And when you think about only going to 140 million at a projected carryout with 90 million acres of beans and a trendline yield, it doesn't leave a lot of room for error in the growing season, almost perfect weather. And based on our initial conversations with producers in East Central Illinois, in the heart of the Corn Belt, it's going to be really hard for the producer and human nature to want to plant more beans. They like to grow corn. And I think if corn's profitable, you're going to see 93, 94 million acres of corn. And to me, at some point, I guess what I'm alluding to in all of this, I anticipate beans to take the lead once again as we get into the deeper into the growing season.
So let me follow up with you just a little bit. Let's say that this comes to fruition as USDA has the numbers at the moment, and we end up with a problem late in the season, probably August rather than July. What does corn do if it's got a decent-sized crop still running?
Well, I think corn, obviously, if you have a challenge on the supply side and yet you have a good crop coming, I think naturally the first place of substitute would be in feed. You could look at different feed substitutes in the feed usage category. Obviously, if higher-priced corn remains, we know ethanol margins aren't that great, so you can back off, and plants have already slowed down and idled periodically here throughout the first couple months of the year. So there's a way of bridging that gap a lot easier on the corn side than necessarily on the bean side, where it becomes a domestic crush issue. I think someone alluded to here earlier that we know exports are going to tail off. They do every year, whether the supply is tight or not. It's a domestic crush, and crush margins are excellent. So you have to figure out a way to slow down domestic consumption on the soybean side as you make that transition.
So, Brian, I think what I'm asking is there are years that we have a decent corn crop and a not good soybean crop. And that's what I want to know. What happens in that case to the price of corn?
Well, I think obviously price corn probably declines relative to the bean price. And I think that's kind of what I was alluding to earlier, where beans will remain the leader, or take the lead. Corn has been the leader since the January 12th crop report. And I imagine that that's going to flip. If you have a good size corn crop, you could still see beans maintain strength just because of how tight the scenario is versus corn dragging beans lower.
Chip Nellinger, I'm building a case and transitioning to you to talk about this high bar for demand you pointed out earlier on. I think something near 500 million extra bushels of corn usage in the last set of numbers from USDA. These would have been from the Ag Forum Outlook. So not quite official numbers because they're not in the WASDE and won't be until sometime in May. But they're still there, and it is a big, big consumption set of numbers. What do you think of them?
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue them right now. I mean, those are the numbers that we've seen illustrated so far. But my fear is that you mentioned it. The next official time we're going to get, a new crop projection is the May supply and demand report. Between now and then, I think you have a high bar for the market to assume that there is this massive amount of demand. I'm not saying there's not going to be. I'm just saying it's the exact opposite of a year ago. The USDA had the demand so low, they didn't really have much Chinese demand in there. And then all of a sudden, you flip the switch, and China's buying everything. And now it's the other way. We have this assumption that this Chinese demand is going to stay throughout the whole, calendar year and the new crop. And the bar is so high that if come May, they start off with a lower number, that could be very disappointing to the market. I agree with Brian. I think that just my bias has been at the end of March prospective plantings report, more times than not, you're scratching your head saying, where did all these acres come from? I think we could set that up again this year at the end of March and maybe see both a corn and a bean acreage number, or maybe total planted acreage way higher, several, 2, 3, 4 million higher than what the market expects. And then if you combine that with lower demand on the May supply and demand report, it sets us up for a lot of disappointment. Obviously, that's a long ways out, right? The way this market's moving, talking about the May supply and demand report is an eternity. But I just, in the back of my mind, that's something that concerns me a little bit. Obviously, Mother Nature is going to play a big part of this and be the ultimate determinant as to how high we go this summer and what size the crop will be. But I'm a little fearful we got the demand bar set too high, especially if that acreage number at the end of the March is on the big side of market expectations.
John Zanker, what are you and RMC thinking about the demand figures that USDA released?
Well, I don't think there's much argument with what they're showing for soybeans. We just, if we've done anything over the last 10 to 15 years with the Chinese, we underestimate what they're going to buy. And we certainly were in that position in August and September of this past year. So I think Brian and Chip have made some good points. I think there's some concern on corn demand maybe being a little optimistic at this point. We saw a terrible ethanol number this past week. Now, I think a lot of that was weather related. We should see that pop back pretty good. But, it's just it's all about the Chinese with corn on their exports. Now, again, they may surprise us to the good side. They may come in for more than we're currently expecting at this point. So I think it's just a little bit easier to be comfortable with soybeans right now. We've been a seller of whole crop corn here in the past 2 weeks, and that's pretty much the only thing we've been selling because we like how the numbers shape up with everything else. And again, it's hard to make the numbers work with soybeans right now. And old crop or new crop, I think there's going to be some wild swings this summer. And, in 2012, with that drought, we took the yield down to 40.0. And in order to get the same kind of price response this year, I think we only have to take that yield down to 48. And that's not a bad drought. That's a moderate drought. We saw the yield drop below 48 a couple years ago. So, and we saw it fall off 2 to 3 bushels here this past August. So, 48, can that give us $17 soybeans? That doesn't sound like anything we would have talked about in the past, but we've never come into a summer with a carryout this tight.
Brian, do you agree with that? And it is a supply driven function. There's demand driven there as well, but it's just really tight coming into the summer. And gosh, I don't know, $16-17. Usually I balk at talking about that kind of number, but I'm wondering what you're thinking.
Well, I think we're going down that path. I don't know if it's 16 or 17, but we've said all along, when I say we, I guess my personal opinion, that beans could trade to 15. But again, I alluded to it earlier, I think we kind of lost a little bit of focus on the bean complex because of the surprise yield cut in the January 12th crop report in corn, where corn has kind of taken the reins. But tightest stocks to use ratio, 3% or a little less than 3%, could be ever. Obviously, it's mostly going to be domestic crush that has to be rationed. I don't think we've discovered a price that does that yet. And the amount of pressure, I think, to grow such a perfect crop to sustain that, I think the demand points by John and Chip have been, I agree with 100%. I think the unknown is Chinese corn demand. What is known is their need for oil seeds. I think that doesn't change. And so I think it's that much harder for us to transition into a comfortable supply, whereas you could make an argument on soybeans, this could be a multi-year problem. You know, generally demand, yes, it's a supply function, but we're driving this market based on demand, and we're trying to ration the supply. So demand, obviously, longer-lasting rallies than a short-lived supply scare. And I think the weather this summer is going to be super critical on soybeans, whereas, you know, we could be overly optimistic on corn demand, and that might alleviate itself with one big crop. So to me, it all points back to beans. Is 16, 17 out of the cards? I don't think so. I think we will have to see what the market takes to slow down consumption and transition to new crop.
Yeah, so Chip, I'm wondering, he said one big crop, but really it's three, right? It's the one here in the United States, the one in China, and the one coming out of Brazil for corn. There are three crops by the time we get to the fall.
Yeah, and I think that's something to keep in the back of our mind here, is it's the best of both worlds, because we have that demand market, but on top of that, it's been a little bit of a supply issue, right? With our, you know, yields tailing off here towards the end of last year with the windstorm in Iowa and dry August. Obviously, South America's had their problems here. And so, yeah, we have to keep that in the back of our mind. Any little supply disruption, whether that ends up being South American crops or less than what's expected as they finally get towards the tail end of their harvest and complete, and we find out that maybe, that dry weather did hurt them more, or whether that's some sort of a weather scare here this year during our growing season, it almost doesn't matter how many acres we're going to plant. I think that could create a lot of volatility once the planters start rolling if the acreage number is high. But then we've got to have Mother Nature perform and give us good ample moisture and raise a big crop. And if there's any hint that there isn't going to be a crop, no matter what the March acreage report says, you're going to see some massive volatility. So the kindling's there for the fire with any weather scare this summer. You could see some really crazy numbers to the upside. I personally hope you don't see those, because just like in 2012, what it will do is stimulate extra demand or extra supply across the world as production comes in. At the same time, high prices choke off demand. That's not a good combination. But you do have, with the tight global stocks and strong demand, any weather scare here, you've got the makings for potentially record high corn and bean prices. But, you know, you got to temper that. Don't get too bullish. If that comes, so be it. You have to focus on, you know, your gross revenue and trying to get in a position where if that comes and high prices come, yes, your crop insurance backstops you, maybe you get some positions to open up the top side, but you really have to lock in revenue. And you look at it right now, arguably, you know, depending on your yield, you're looking at $900 plus gross on corn and, you know, really strong numbers on beans as well. Kind of look at that really closely from a new crop perspective.
So, John, Risk Management Commodities deals a lot with crop insurance, as does the Andersons. So we'll ask Brian Stark this question as well. But how have you been talking to your producers about their needs and what they ought to be doing this year when we have such high prices for commodities?
Well, I think you just go full bore. I don't think there's a lot of analysis needed. Most of our customers do 85% corn, maybe 80% beans, maybe some county type protection. But I would say, it's not going to be cheap. But I think we insure hard. We get to a price level in here at some point where we're going to have to look at being pretty aggressive with our pricing. We've not sold a bushel of new crop beans yet. And I think I look at the current price of November beans as not being anything particularly special. When you look at the past 13 years, we've had 4 years. Now, the last 5 or 6 years, which is ingrained in our memories of not being very good to us. But if you go back before that, we had 4 years where we had a spring price higher than where we are right now, 2008, 2011, 12, and 13. And the average of those 4 years was 1307, and that's 77 cents higher than where we are right now. So we've not been in a big hurry there. And corn, on the other hand, well, same thing. 4 years where we've had a higher spring price than where we sit today with these futures at 474. So, in fact, we even had these corn a little higher here a couple years ago due to the wet planting season. So we're not looking at those as anything terribly special. But from a risk management standpoint, as Brian was talking to about, there's some profit there. And so at some point, between crop insurance and some good old-fashioned risk management with forward pricing, we have to look at setting in some floors at a minimum. We can raise 190 bushel corn crop, and we can raise a 55 bushel soybean crop if we get one of those near perfect growing seasons that we have not had in a while. So we have to, there's a surprise potentially on the other side that we haven't talked a whole lot about.
And Brian Stark?
Yeah, I agree with everything John said. I think it alludes to the fact that if you're going to be patient, this is the highest average. Maybe not. We've seen higher. I think he referenced 8, 11, 12, and 13. I agree with that. But it's the highest we've had probably since then as far as our February averages. So to lock in the max coverage is super important from a risk management standpoint. 85% on soybeans, corn, depending on your county, you might even be able to look at even optional units if you want to buy up more coverage, but at minimum 85%, because then you have a solid revenue floor established. You can be patient to John's point about waiting on new crop beans or corn to see if we get even higher prices. But if we get a supply surprise and a lower demand, as Chip alluded to earlier, I think that insurance at least puts a floor in place so that if we don't make any new aggressive new crop sales take chips off the table, then I think we've got some time in place. So it all starts with that for us, and I would encourage the grower to consider maxing out his insurance because I think that's going to lock in a solid, profitable level this year for most people.
I'll make note that we will talk about this in a webinar that Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, will headline on Thursday of next week. I'll be there to moderate it. It's part of the Farm Doc webinar series, and you can get yourself registered for it. It's free if you've not already registered for the series online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or by scrolling down at willag.org. And I talked to Gary. We'll post an interview with him to the Will Ag. .org website about crop insurance, and he at the end of that discussion, and we talked a lot about ECO, in fact, the enhanced coverage option, was of a mind that the 80 to 85%, and this would be for central and northern Illinois and for those areas across the Midwest, I suppose, that are in that kind of range of highly productive soils, using 80 to 85% and probably 90% on the ECO. You can go to 95%. There are some facts and figures in that particular interview about how often these pay out. I think they will help you make some decisions and feel a lot more at ease about it. So go ahead and take a listen to that as well. So let's wrap up kind of our discussion here, and then we'll get a final word from you. I do want to know what each of you believe that the end of the month of March, that is, acreage report will show. I think, Chip Nellinger, let's start with you.
Yeah, I can easily see that 90 million a bean number. I'm a little fearful of a big corn number. Like I said earlier, it just seems like this March acreage report, sometimes you look and you add all the acres up and you ask yourself, where did those all come from? I wouldn't be surprised to see something towards 93 million acres of corn, possibly higher. Again, this is just my personal bias. It just seems like that March acreage number it's hard to not have that come out bearish. Higher prices are going to bring production in. Yes, you can argue that, we're going to have an acreage battle. Cotton's in the mix, sorghum's in the mix, but I'm fearful of a big number there of both corn and beans.
John Zanker?
Well, I think that Chip made a good point there, too, that, cotton prices have been on fire. Milo, a dollar over corn, at least. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to pull many more acres out. But the USDA on March 31, boy, there's I can't speak for the other two guys, but I've thrown stuff after that report. So,
you're probably not the only one.
the highest amount of combined corn and soybean acres we've ever planted and harvested or got to harvest was 180.4. I believe that was 17, 90.2 each. So this is a near record bean number. And you would think with the price of corn where it is, we could pull corn acres up, but we can't pull bean acres down. I mean, if you pull bean acres down, you need a record yield just to keep the carry out at 100. And, the USDA was using or the Ag Forum was using 145 on that new crop carryout. Well, that's using 120 on the old crop carryout, and I think that's going to be closer to 80 to 90. So we're really looking at 110 to 120 with almost record acreage and a yield that's just a little over a bushel off the record. So, that March 31st report, it's going to be a nail biter for sure. But I think that there could be a surprise, and if there is, it's maybe they find some acres again and add a million or two to the corn.
Yeah, just as a reminder, that March 31st report is actually a survey of what farmers expect to put in the ground. So when John's throwing stuff, he can't believe what the farmers actually told USDA, Brian. But what do you think those numbers will look like?
Well, I will just add that I've thrown things, but it's been mainly the quarterly stocks number that has caused me to throw things versus the prospective plans report. But nonetheless, I can't disagree. I think 90 million is a right number for beans in my mind today. I think it's really hard to see a bigger number than that based on some things I alluded to earlier in our conversation. But corn, we could set a total corn bean intentions record. I think we could be close to 94 million on corn, just given where prices are and to the fact we get surprised on acreage intended to be planted. And then the key is, what's the spring weather going to allow us to do? If it's dry and warm, then I fully expect you're going to see a ton of corn acres go on the ground. If we get into some wet periods, then maybe beans have a chance to pick up a few more acres along the way. But I think price becomes not as big of a driver once you get to April, May, as much as the planting weather.
Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, it's time for a final word. Do you have one for us today?
Well, we've talked about a lot of bullish scenarios here. I would just caution everyone, yes, that's possible. But this volatility that I believe we're going to see over the next 6 to 9 months is going to allow you to position yourself if you're able and have a plan and willing to act on it. And it might take two or three steps, but position yourself so that way you're locking in really strong gross revenue, but still having some upside potential. If we do get into a weather problem, we go to some goofy numbers to the upside, you can kind of have your cake and eat it too. That volatility is going to allow us to do that. I know it's easier said than done, but it takes a plan and execution. Don't put all your eggs in one basket thinking that we're going to new all-time highs and it's nothing but good times and in a bull market here, because we're a long ways into it. And as John mentioned earlier, I believe If we get everything all tied together with strong, big acreage and Mother Nature cooperates, we can raise some record yields and rebuild stocks in a hurry.
On that note, I will remind folks that in the Thursday morning this week webinar, Gary Schnitke showed the decision tool that's online at the FarmDoc site, which suggested that there is a 30% chance, given the options volatility, that the price of corn will be $4 or below by the time we get to the fall. Brian Stark, your final word for the day.
Well, I think Chip kind of alluded to what I was going to say. I think this is an environment with volatility, higher volatility, that we don't want to remain static. Thinking of marketing strategies that allow you to remain fluid and participate in the upside and protect the downside is important. I think the biggest thing for producers that are still holding on to old crop, we have to be mindful of spreads, especially if you're sitting on grain going forward, because you're staring from May to July a 10-cent inverse. It gets even steeper going out to the September in corn, and then obviously somewhere around the same May-July inverse in soybeans, and even bigger drop-off going to the August and the November. So we've got to draw a line in the sand, and yes, absolute prices may work higher, but we've also got an inverse that's incenting us to sell here over the next 3 to 4 months.
And John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities.
Well, we have some things here that going on in soybeans, especially that, as my kids would say, are epic. And I think there's going to be I think we'll see some things this summer that we've never seen before. Maybe basis. You know, can we run out of soybeans in the middle of July? The current pace would suggest that we can, but I think there's an old adage in the grain business that we really can't. There's a pipeline, and but who's going to own those beans? I think that. I did an elevator survey here just a couple of days ago, and 5 to 10% was about the biggest number that any of those elevators said the farmer still owns and has sitting in the bin. So if we see $15 crossed here on the May futures here in the next month or so, I don't think that 5 to 10% is going to last very long. So it's going to be a nail biter for the crushers. And probably about the only people that will be owning beans come July are the crushers and the exporters. And those are the same people. So it's going to be interesting. And they probably won't want to share with each other. So I think we have some very, very interesting times ahead. Be careful on this old crop corn, though. Very good price for the projected carryout. So I think, again, we'll continue to push some old crop corn into this market.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to the whole of the program anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week. They include John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, Brian Stark of the Anderson in Champaign, Illinois, and Chip Nellinger at Blue Reef Agri-Marketing in Morton, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.